Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and colleague, Priscilla Ann Willis.
Hi, Dan. This is the 254th episode of Travel Itch Radio. Every week at 8 p.m. Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel.
And tonight we'd like to welcome Barbara Merritt, Communications Manager of the San Juan Islands Visitors Bureau. Welcome, Barbara, to Travel Itch Radio.
Hi, Dan and Priscilla. It's great to be talking to you this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. Barbara, for listeners who may not know, tell us, where are the San Juan Islands?
The San Juan Islands are in the Pacific Northwest, close to the Canadian border. We're located between the three great visitor cities of Seattle, Vancouver, B.C., and Victoria, B.C. We're about an hour and a half drive north of Seattle, and then about an hour ferry ride.
And how many islands are there altogether?
Well, there are 172 named islands. At low tide, there are a bunch of rocks and reefs that don't have names. Of these 172 islands, three of them, Lopez, Orcas, and San Juan Island, have attractions, amenities, and lodgings for visitors.
Barbara, when I hear the name San Juan, I immediately think of Puerto Rico. So please tell us how the islands got their name.
Well, lots of people make that mistake. So when I see a Facebook post or a tweet that mentions rum, I know that people are confused and they think that they're communicating with San Juan, Puerto Rico. But the islands were named by a Spanish explorer in 1791, Francisco de Alisa. And they're obviously named after St. John.
Okay. And since the San Juans are so close to Seattle, as you mentioned before, tell us, does the sun linger longer on the San Juans than it does in Seattle?
Well, of course, that depends on the time of year. But, yes, in the summer it does. We're about a degree of latitude different from Seattle. So Seattle's 47 degrees north, and the San Juans are 58 degrees north. So that's about 60 nautical miles or 69 statute miles. So it does linger a bit longer, but the big difference between us and Seattle is that we get half the rainfall of Seattle, so you're more likely to see the sun, and we get twice as much sunshine. So in the summer, around the solstice, the sun doesn't set up here until after 9:30, and then we have light in the sky until 10 p.m.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, Barbara, what is the San Juan Islands scenic byway? We hear it has 40 points of interest.
Well, yeah, in order to become a byway, you not only have to be scenic. So as you drive around the San Juans, you get these wonderful sweeping views of sky and sea and beaches and forest. But you have to have interesting things to see and do. So I'll run through a few of the things there are to do on that list of 40. And one thing that's really unique about our scenic byway, it's the only one that includes a marine route. This is in the lower 48. So our ferry route is along the scenic byway, which makes us kind of unusual, and it follows a route that the native canoes would have followed at one point when this was Coast Salish territory. Well, it still is to a certain extent. So on the scenic byway, some of the highlights are Friday Harbor. This is the county seat on San Juan Island where we have historical museums. We have the Whale Museum, which was the first museum in the world dedicated to the care of whales rather than the killing of whales. We have a Museum of History and Industry that's a very interactive museum where you can learn about the fishing and farming and limestone mining in the islands. As you leave Friday Harbor, you can visit the San Juan Island National Historical Park, which includes American Camp and British Camp, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later. We have a 20-acre open-to-the-public lavender farm that makes over 200 organic lavender products. Lime Kiln Point State Park, which is one of the best places in the world to view orca whales from the shore. It's also known as Whale Watch Park. We have a beautiful alpaca farm that has a store with the highest, finest quality alpaca clothing, a sculpture park, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. We have San Juan Vineyards that grows its own varietals. It has won many awards for its Madeline Angevine and Zegareba wines. And then switching over to Orcas Island, Orcas has lots of stops where you can see pottery being made or visit artist studios. It's got the Rosario Resort and Historic Moran Mansion, which we can talk about a little bit further on, but that's a great place to stop and listen to a free organ recital in the 1909 mansion, and it's got a free historical museum. Moran State Park is Washington State's second oldest park. It's over 5,000 acres and has 38 miles of hiking trails, several lakes where you can swim, and Mount Constitution, which is 2,400 feet, and a great way to get a view of all of the islands below and the distant snow-capped mountains of the Olympic and Pacific Range. It's just this beautiful spot. The islands look like scattered gems below. And then other stops where you can see a variety of local artists' work, like the Olga and Orcas Island artworks. So that's just a highlight of some of the 40 stops on the scenic byway. Lopez Island likes a little bit quieter atmosphere, so they chose not to be part of the scenic byway, but that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of great hiking and biking trails and things to do on Lopez Island.
Okay, please correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but do people that live in the San Juan Islands have boats or cars or both?
Oh, both, and airplanes too. So we say we're real islands, real close. So we have no bridges. So the only way you can get to the island is by boat or plane.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Yes, islands are large. So, you know, you definitely want to have a car. But for visitors, if they don't want to bring their car, especially on San Juan Island, you can, and on Orcas, you can rent cars or mopeds or scoot coupes. And then there's a San Juan Transit that goes around San Juan Island during the summer and does so on Orcas and Lopez on the weekends.
When I talked to you at Chapel Hill, you mentioned that sea kayaking is a great participation sport and whale watching is a great spectator sport. So just how big is the whole outdoor adventure scene on the San Juan Islands?
Well, let's talk about kayaking first. We estimate that there are about 25,000 launches of a kayak spread out over the islands in the summer. So our lingering summer sunsets, calm water, and the ability to see eagles, orca whales, seals, sea lions, dolphins, and lighthouses make it a kayaker's paradise. Many of our outfitters offer half-day, full-day, or overnight kayak trips to outer islands. Some of them combine kayaking with yoga or gourmet food, or they'll take a brewmaster along with them. So there's all kinds of creative kayaking trips. Some involve, as I said, camping, but others you can kayak to another island and stay at an inn and eat at a restaurant. So our outfitters are very creative, and they're great about customizing a trip just for you. A couple of the other cool kayak tours are in summer, in late summer and early September. You can go on a bioluminescence tour at night when the Noctiluca jellyfish are in bloom, and they'll light up as you dip your paddle into the water. And then also sunset cruises are really fun, especially around the summer solstice when the sun lingers for so long. In terms of whale watching, similar to kayaking, whale watch trips leave from Lopez, Orcas, and San Juan Islands. And we tell people if they have their heart set on seeing whales that they should take a whale watch tour rather than rely on seeing them from shore or from a kayak. And the boats all have very knowledgeable naturalists on board. And our local boats vary in size from a small 6-passenger vessel to 80-passenger vessels.
Wow. Okay. And I've got to talk about the beaches. Actually, you have to talk about the beaches because you have quite a reputation there. So please share the story about your beaches.
Well, our beaches are a little bit different than what I think a lot of people think of beaches. They think of tropical beaches and white sand. And we do have a few fine sand beaches. Most of our beaches, however, are fine gravel, and they're just covered with very picturesque driftwood. And some creative people make driftwood sculptures out of the driftwood. But what's nice about them is that they're not crowded. So our longest beach is at the American Camp unit of the San Juan Island National Historical Park, and it's 2 miles long, and you can just stroll along this beach. You can bring your dog on a leash, and as you travel south, you'll be traveling towards the Cattle Point Lighthouse, which is a very picturesque lighthouse. It's one of 4 lighthouses in the San Juans, several of which are open in the summer to visitors. And from our beaches, you may see orca whales or seals or sea lions.
Sounds beautiful and a nature lover's paradise. But tell us a little about the history of the San Juan Islands, too.
Well, about 8,000 years ago, the islands were first settled by Coast Salish tribes who plied the waters of the Salish Sea in their canoes. So the Salish Sea is an inland waterway that connects the Pacific Ocean to waters surrounding the southwest tip of Canada's Vancouver Island, Canada's Gulf Islands, and the American San Juans. Of course, there were no boundaries when the Native American people were here for thousands of years. Our boundary was created in 1846. So the Canadian tribes are culturally and linguistically closely related to the American tribes.
Okay.
And, yeah, one of the reasons there were so many, so many Native people here is because our waters are rich were rich in salmon. We still have salmon, but not nearly the amounts we had around the turn of the 20th century. Forage fish, clams, the Coast Salish really took advantage of our wonderful clam beds, etc. And then the islands were homesteaded by English, German, and Danish who sailed around Cape Horn, and then other Americans who came overland. And, you know, our early history, our settlers subsisted mostly on farming, fishing, and mining limestone. So Roche Harbor Resort is very much it started out as a mining operation and then transitioned into a resort. So in the 1960s, the island slowly became more well-known as a tourist destination, and our farmland was subdivided, and the population of permanent residents grew, and many vacation homes were built. Still, you know, our year-round population is only around 16,000 people in all of the islands. So we do get quite an influx of visitors in the summer, but then things quiet down again in the winter and our quiet shoulder seasons.
Yeah, that's good. Lonely Planet called the San Juan Islands a gourmet archipelago. Please explain what that means.
Well, we have 4 shellfish farms, 3 vineyards, 1 brewery. Actually, we have 3 breweries now because 2 just opened up, 2 new ones. We have an award-winning cidery distillery, 6 tasting rooms that feature local and Northwest wines, local beers, and locally distilled spirits. So in the fall, we have something called Savor the San Juans, which is all about feasts and festivals and farm tours. And we have a thriving culinary art scene. So we have several James Beard-nominated chefs, and we have one chef that was just named in 2017 one of Food and Wine's best new chefs. And so these talented chefs are into what we call hyper-local cuisine, and they take advantage of the fresh shellfish, local wines. Several of our shellfish farms have picnic tables where you can just actually, some of them you can actually collect your own shellfish. Others, they've collected it for you, and it's just there. There's cold water running through it. You can open it yourself, or you can buy barbecued oysters, and there's fresh bread, and you can just sit there and look out on the beautiful Salish Sea and enjoy this incredible food. We also have restaurants that have their own 1-acre organic farm. So Doe Bay on Orcas Island is just, the farm is just steps from the restaurant, and it's a pescatarian restaurant, so the only protein they serve is fish. We also have B&Bs where you can collect fresh eggs and just go into their garden and pick whatever you want and fix that in your room. So, yeah, we're very, very much into as fresh as it gets. I mean, there are a couple restaurants that only serve food from the San Juan Islands. It doesn't get much fresher than that.
No, thank you for elaborating on the culinary aspects that visitors can find. And let's talk a little bit more about the art scene.
Well, the San Juans are, as you can imagine, they're such a beautiful, inspirational place that we attract artists, musicians, performing artists, visual artists. We have 3 performing arts centers, 1 on each island. We have really talented local acting troupes. We also have professional actors that perform Shakespeare Under the Stars every summer. And we have a 20-acre sculpture park, which is one of the largest outdoor sculpture parks in the world. And why we're considered an arts hotspot is because of the number of artists and galleries that are here earning a living from the arts. So we have, famous composers and artists living next door. And people here really value their privacy. So there's a lot of talent on the island, but you may not know about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Is it true, Barbara, that you're blessed by a benign climate where summer lingers a lot longer?
Yes. We are in the rain shadow of the Olympic Mountains, so our great weather usually lingers until mid-October. It rarely goes above 80 degrees in the summer or below freezing in the winter, and it rarely snows. And if it does, it melts really quickly, but everybody freaks out if it snows here because no one's used to driving in snowy weather.
And what are your peak and bargain seasons in the San Juan Islands?
Well, our peak season is mid-June until the end of September, and that's also when people would have the best chance of seeing our resident orca whales, although you can see orca whales all year long. They're what we call transient orca whales that are here all year. Our quiet season, I wouldn't call it a bargain season, but our quiet season is winter and early spring, excluding holidays and spring break. So like many destinations, people tend to want to come, you know, in the summer when school is out.
Yeah. Just like everywhere. So
yep.
You mentioned there are no bridges to the San Juan, so people can get there by plane or ferry. How long does that take?
Well, we say that getting here is half the fun. So it depends. If you fly here from Seattle in a wheeled plane, it takes less than 45 minutes. In a float plane, it takes a little bit less from downtown Seattle. And if you come by ferry, a Washington State ferry, you can bring your car, and that takes about an hour depending on the island, a little bit more, a little bit less depending on the island. But then there are also passenger ferries in the summer from Seattle. We have the Victoria Clipper that takes about 3.5 hours, and then we have ferries from Bellingham and Port Townsend that take a little bit over an hour each to get to the islands. Or we're a huge private boating destination, so people will bring their own boats and anchor in the islands because we have hundreds of secluded bays and anchorages, and the water is usually very calm in the summer.
Okay. Dan, do you want to do the break now, or...
I'm going to skip it because we're just about out of time, so I'm just trying to get as much in as we can. So let's go on to the next question.
Yeah, okay. So, Barbara, tell us a little about the inns, B&Bs, and hotels on the San Juan Islands.
So we don't consider ourselves a luxury destination. People here, often the owners of the inns and B&Bs are the ones carrying your luggage and serving you breakfast. But we do have a variety from an ultra-modern boutique hotels to glamping to lovely historic hotels like Rosario Resort and Outlook Inn on Orcas Island. On San Juan Island, we have Roche Harbor Resort, and it's circa 1886. Hotel Bahara was a favorite haunt of the actor John Wayne, and Roosevelt is rumored to have stayed there. President Teddy Roosevelt is rumored to have stayed there twice. We also have lovely Ben Breakfast that serve phenomenal breakfast, and they're in also historic properties in the town of Friday Harbor. On Lopez, the Edenwild Boutique Hotel was built by the actor Tom Skerritt to resemble an older Victorian structure, and then we have the camping and the glamping as well. So there's quite a variety for every price point in the islands.
Okay.
Barbara, do you recommend first-time visitors arrange itineraries that will cover multiple islands?
Yeah, definitely, especially if you're coming a long distance. So if you're flying here from the East Coast, you want to take advantage of seeing the variety the islands have to offer. So I think to get a true flavor of the islands, people should visit at least two islands and spend at least 2 days on each. So that would be 2 days on Orcas, San Juan, and Lopez.
What's the best way that visitors could go about deciding which islands to visit?
Well, it's kind of based on their need for entertainment, I would say. So if you love the outdoors but don't mind that there are no movie theaters or taxi or much in the way of shopping, I would tell people to choose Lopez Island for great hiking and biking or for kayak rentals. Lopez is known for its rolling farmlands, its farm stands, and its independent spirit. So Lopez gets fewer visitors than Orcas or San Juan. Orcas Island has great shops, many artists, studios or galleries, shellfish farms, and is known for the farm-to-fork dining. It also has Moran State Park that I mentioned earlier in the broadcast for great views and hiking, and there's even a waterfall at Moran State Park. San Juan Island is the busiest, and the town of Friday Harbor is the only incorporated village in San Juan County. And we have the Whale Museum, I mentioned historical museums, and a bit more shopping and boutique, and just a bit more going on in Friday Harbor than anywhere else in the islands.
Okay. So we only have a few minutes left, Barbara, but our guests like to know, our listeners like to know more about our guests. So tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised and schooled and how you got involved in travel and came to the San Juan Islands.
Okay, well, I was born in New York. I was raised in Mamaroneck and Katona, New York, and attended Marymount College in Tarrytown, New York, and the City and Guilds of London Art School, of course, in London. My dad worked for the United Nations from the time it was started until he retired, and he instilled in his children a love of travel. So I've called the San Juan Islands home port for almost 40 years, but have spent a good deal of that time long-distance sailing. I was a relief crew and sailing instructor for Orange Coast College in Newport Beach, California, and I'm a contributing editor to Cruising World magazine. I'm a Friday Harbor Port Commissioner, and I wrote a book about traveling long distance in a 31-foot sailboat in the Pacific.
Oh, wonderful.
So the book is called Mahina Tiare Pacific Passages.
Yeah, that's got to be another show, just talking about that book and your experiences. But unfortunately, we've got to wrap it up. So how do Travelitch listeners learn more about the San Juan Islands?
You can go to our website. That's visitsanjuans.com. So San Juans is plural. You can call for a brochure at 888-468-3701. You can like us on Facebook at Visit San Juans or follow us on Twitter at Visit SJ Island, and Instagram is also Visit San Juans. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I've got to end it. Thanks to Barbara Merritt, Communications Manager of the San Juan Islands Visitors Bureau. Next week, our guest will be Jeremy Cage, author of All Dreams on Deck. He's a round-the-world sailor also. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg along with Priscilla Ann Willis saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.
Thanks, Dan and Priscilla. Have been fun.